Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the frozen streets of Chicago. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis, back from the seven seas. How you doing, brother?
Well, I think you know that I just had foot surgery, then caught norovirus. And so I've been hobbling to the bathroom on crutches like 100 times a day for the last 2 days. So
you're living the dream.
It's not been my finest 48 hours. So I guess we'll leave it at that. But hey, you know what? We're here. We've got some fun stuff to talk about, and be better soon, I'm sure.
Yes, fun stuff indeed with all that's going on with our beloved Bull. I mean, let's start out with, you know, the big news at hand regarding the potential trade talks with Zach LaVine. I've noticed you were pretty active on Twitter, or excuse me, X, battling it out with our good friend Joe Cowley. Let's start out with that. Like, what are your initial thoughts about this prospective trade? And I guess, you know, for those who aren't aware, why don't you go into a little bit about the primary figures that are being discussed?
Yeah, you know what? Like, so it's Michael Porter Jr. and some bad contract, Nanji something or other, but his name I don't know, who is averaging 1.4 points a game, but is on the hook for like three additional years after this one at like $8 million a year, $9 million a year. And so the total numbers are more than Zach LaVine makes. The years go out longer than Zach LaVine, and the players are worse. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't know. I don't know, like, what we're doing here. I don't know why anyone's excited about this. Like, and reading people talk about Michael Porter Jr., I'm just kind of like, have you ever watched Michael Porter Jr.? Like, know who this is? Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know why anyone would be excited about this move for the Bulls. Like, Michael Porter Jr. is an atrocious contract. Nanji is just complete dead money, like completely worthless. So, you know, I just don't know what we're doing here. That just seems like a waste unless there's a bunch of draft capital coming our way. You can't trade and take on more money and get worse and not get compensated in any way. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
For those who would argue that Michael Porter Jr. is, you know, 3 years younger, obviously a very good shooter. I imagine he fits in. I mean, he actually won a title, obviously, with Denver, and he was probably a key part of that title. He did have the advantage of playing with arguably the best player of our generation. But that said, you know, he's proven it. He's
the fourth guy on that title team, maybe. Right. Maybe the fifth best guy. Like, okay, if Zach LaVine was our fifth best player, we'd have a hell of a team. Like, I don't know what we're talking about here.
So I'm starting to sense you're against this deal.
You've picked up what I'm laying down.
Okay. So is there any additional draft assets? Like, what would make you change your tune? What would have to be included to say, you know what, I'll move forward with that? Like, I assume it would be a draft asset of some sort.
I mean, if you got draft picks that were far enough out in the future, like, getting this year's Denver pick doesn't do anything for you, right? Like, where's that pick gonna land? You know,
only a few games above 500.
Right. Yeah, now. But you expect that pick is not gonna be. It's not gonna be a lottery pick, right?
No, they'll make the playoffs, I assume.
Yeah. So, like, you're gonna get like a non-lotto pick. I mean, if we got a, you know, picks out like, say, two first, like 27 and 29 or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, where those picks are maybe towards the end of the Joker's timeline and you think you've got some upside and they're unprotected. But I just don't see Denver doing that. You know, like, I just, and there's not any rumor of them adding picks, right? So, I just don't know. But that's what it would take for me. You know, to take a couple picks. You're losing on money. You're losing on talent. And people are going to just hate Michael Porter Jr. once he's here. You know, like, he's great next to the Joker, but like, he can't create a shot. You know, he's just like tall Kyle Korver, and that's a good player, but not a good player on. He's on a lower level max contract, but still a max contract. You know, is not that good of a player, and yeah, I just think you're just gonna hate that guy once he's on your team.
I tend to agree with you. I've never been a huge fan of him. I've always found him to be kind of Mattingly inconsistent, just an inconsistent player overall.
Well, he's a shooter, right? He's just an off-ball shooter. And, like, that's great when you've got a couple star players, and they had Murray and Jokic, you know, taking up all the attention, and he's, like, bombing away open threes. You know who would be amazing if all he had to do was shoot open threes is Zach LaVine? Like, it could be incredible.
Yeah.
If he had two better guys on the team than him, and he just had to bomb away and hit open threes, and you know, like, so he's just not going to look the same on the Bulls. Like, you're not going to get him all these open shots. He's going to have better defenders on him. You know, we're not generating all these double or triple teams on anyone, you know, on our team to space the floor and create these open looks. So, yeah, it's just, I just am not a fan. I mean, well, I'll ask you, what do you think?
I'm number one. I'm excited about it for Zach LaVine's perspective, because I think he's really going to thrive.
Who cares?
There. I like Zach LaVine.
I don't care. I like Zach LaVine. I don't care if Zach LaVine goes and thrives somewhere else, though. Like, I want our team to thrive.
I guess you're right. I would be for it if there was like some type of draft asset included in it. But I tend to agree with you. Like, knowing Acme, I think they'll just settle for moving him for some ridiculous reason and try to argue that, hey, we're big picture, you know, this guy is more in line with what we're trying to build, which it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I agree with you. Like, I'd almost rather keep him. However, with the caveat, however, he's playing too good. Like, I think the Bulls do get worse if they make this trade. And in doing so, if we keep our pick this year, isn't there value in that? I think there is inherent value in that.
How low do you think our pick can get this year if we do this trade?
I think if we lose Zach LaVine, we'll start losing at a very consistent level. I think Philadelphia will pass us. I haven't looked recently like who's below us, but I think it's possible we'll get 6th, 7th worst record, and then you just have a better opportunity for better luck at that position.
I just don't think we're going to get to the 6th, 7th worst record. I think we're going to be like 9th or 10th worst record.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, if we could get down to like the 6th worst record, you know, I'd kind of get it. But then I just feel like there's got to be some other trade, and maybe there isn't, because Zach's salary is so high and there's not a lot of matching contracts and there's a lot of difficult logistics. I posted about that. But it feels to me like you could at least save some money on the trade, like not take more money. Like, we're going to be worse off contractually and financially after this trade. Like, people say the problem with Zach is his contract's bad. We're going to be worse off financially after this deal. Like, right. I just feel like you could at least find a salary neutral deal. But like I said, maybe not. There's not a lot of guys in that pay range. And, you know, a lot of the teams that would want him can't aggregate salaries because they're would be over the second apron. So, you know, maybe the reality is that there just isn't anything out there. And this is like this or nothing.
One counter is, wouldn't you agree that Michael Porter Jr. would probably be slightly easier to move with his contract, which is a little bit less per year than Zach LaVine? Do you agree with that?
Not really.
No.
Because he sucks. Like, I mean, he sucks for a 38. He's going to be owed $40 million a year after this year for the next 2 years.
Yeah, that's not
good. He sucks for a $40 million player. Like, a $40 million player that can't defend and can't create a shot.
Yep, that's, I agree to a certain extent. I do feel like he would prove to be valuable to a team that's looking for shooting, and everybody is looking for shooting.
Well, Zach LaVine should be valuable for a team looking for shooting. He's a better shooter than Porter is.
Good,
and he can create his own shot, and he can generate fouls, and he can score in volume. Like,
and he's probably a better one-on-one defender.
Yeah, probably true.
I don't think Porter Jr. I mean, obviously Porter Jr. is a better rebounder because he's got a little bit more height. He's a big, but that was one thing I laughed about. What about Zach's injury history? I'm like, has anybody paid attention to this guy for his career? It's like, what in the world are you talking about? This guy's like an accident waiting to happen in terms of his injury history. He is 3 years younger. I just think Zach's looks so good this year. It's like, I'm just shocked there isn't the Lakers, or I guess it's just a reflection of how difficult it is to make moves in this environment with this new collective bargaining agreement.
It is tough to match the salaries. Like, I think there are teams that would take Zach LaVine on his money. Like, I don't think they even care that much about the money. It's just like they can't match the contracts. Like, the logistics and mechanics of the trade are just too hard to pull off. But I think, like, the number, I think Zach has played well enough that teams could get comfortable with the number. But the teams that would want to do that, they just don't have $40 million to throw in a trade, or $45 million or whatever it is. And that's the tricky part.
Yeah, and if you're returning that type of money, chances are, if the team is good and they're feeling willing to let that type of money go, they're probably not really good players. They're probably overpaid. You know, that's what I'm guessing, I suspect. Well,
yeah, I mean, the hope would be you just get shorter years, right? Like, so like if you got a guy that was like, you know, so Zach's got 2 years after this year. If someone matched the salaries and they were expiring and the player sucked, you'd be like, all right, cool. You know, we saved the future years. Or even if you just go out 1 year, right? Like, all right, they get Zach for 2 after this year and we get some other dude for 1 after this year. So at least we saved the last year.
Yeah.
You know, Porter's contract runs as long as Zach's and Nanji's goes a year longer. So it's just like, I just don't know. I can't wrap my head around why you would put yourself in a worse financial state. Like, if you just want to lose games, like I feel you could do something better than that. Like, your roster is worse after this, financially and talent wise, and you've added no assets whatsoever. Like, I just feel like there's a way you could make your team worse this year and improve your finances for the future, or improve your roster or get some other assets for a future. Like, generally, someone should pay you something to take on talent, right? You should get some type of future asset or some type of salary relief to take on talent. You shouldn't pay more money to be worse. Like, that is nonsensical. You have to get something. Something of value has to come back to you, whether it's salary relief, future draft picks, maybe some prospect in the deal you like, and maybe someone can talk themselves into being like, ah, Michael Porter Jr. is better than the two of us are saying. But yeah, I'm not a fan.
I would be okay with the deal if we were able to get some type of draft asset, like even if it's 2 second rounders, a swap, some type of
additional. I wouldn't do this for 2 second rounders. Second rounders are worthless. Like, you need more than that. It's ridiculous. It just shows that people will only trade with us if they can completely screw us over. Like, they're just like, oh yeah, you're like the dumbest person in the room, so I'm always going to trade with you. Oh, we'll take talent and you'll lose on money. Yeah, here's the second rounder. Come on. Get the hell out of here. That's just crap.
I just feel like we need to replenish those. We've already every draft asset, Doug, does help. Like, bringing in draft assets do help. You see guys make deals with that. Look at the Knicks, what they were able to
do. You could just buy them for cash, Fred, for like $4 million. Like, a second rounder, maybe if you just say it's worth like $4 million of salary relief, like something like that.
Yeah.
Like, we're taking on $8 million of extra salary and to get worse players. Like, I just feel you just have to do better. You can't just go get your ass kicked in every deal you make.
I tend to agree with you. I mean, part of me, I'm split on this a little bit because I do like his shooting. I do think he has value. He does make less than Zach. I do think
only a little bit less, like $5 million a year less, like something like that.
Maybe you're right. $6 million a year. But like, he's 3 years younger. You know, there are advantages. Great,
he's 3 years younger. What does that do for you? He's 26. It's not like he's like 21 and he's going to make these huge strides.
Yeah, it's a tough call because I do think Zach, as long as he keeps on playing like he is, don't tell me he's not going to have value. There's got to be one other team. It was only like 3 weeks ago that I was hearing from the most ardent Zach haters in the world that there's no way anybody's going to take on this contract. Well, suddenly we have somebody that will.
Yeah, and by giving us even worse contracts. I mean, who cares?
Like, I just feel like with every day that goes by that he's playing at this level, the contract is getting a little bit closer to 2 years and the year, it'll be a year and a half. Like, I do feel like he's going to have value. Eventually, if there's only like a year left on the contract and he's playing at a high level, somebody's going to take it. I don't feel like he's untradeable. If he keeps on playing at this level, he keeps on proving that he's healthy. He's been awesome this year. Just incredible. And if you're playing like 50, if you're shooting 50, 43, 80, somebody's going to say, you know what? We'll take him. You know, like, we'll take him and we'll give you some draft assets for that. If you're a team that is in a situation like the Denver Nuggets or the Lakers, or, you know, that's on the edge of the playoffs, that really has no, they have, you know, superstars that you have to win now. Those are the teams that I think would be willing to make that move.
Yeah, I think especially if you get to this summer, you know, you only have 2 years left, right? And then there's a lot more flexibility in the summer with roster spots and other stuff where you can do a little bit more mechanically for trades. And they're a little easier to pull off. I feel like you can move them this summer. And maybe to your point earlier, the real risk is, like, if you keep Zach LaVine around, you know, maybe you're going to lose your pick to the Spurs this year. And that matters to me. I think it matters to you. And I think it matters to Bulls fans. But the problem with that, the flip side, is that I just don't think this trade gets us to like 6 or 7 where you're more likely to get a really good pick. And I think if we keep the pick and it lands at like 10, like I just don't know that it really matters all that much. Like it matters a lot if it gets up to like 1, 2, 3, 4, like, or all these might be like 6 guys in this draft who are really amazing. But if you're not going to be picking in that range, like, I don't know that it still really is all that meaningful that you keep it versus taking the pick in 26.
Well, there's 7 teams in the Eastern Conference. I think for the sake of let's paint a picture here and provide some context. There's 7 teams in Eastern Conference today that are above 500, which is kind of shocking. The Hawks have, you know, gone on a mini run, you know, 7-3 in their last 10. So they're at 7 seed right now. The Heat are 13-11, Bucks 14-11. You know, all the teams from 1 to 7, I think, are going to try to win, including the Hawks. The Pacers are 12-15, the same record as the Bulls at eight. Are the Pacers going to try? They won 2 in a row. I think they're going to continue to try to win, unless I'm misreading the situation. They were in.
All right, you're making this too complicated.
Okay.
There's 3 teams in the West that there's no way we're going to pass: Portland, Utah, and the Pelicans.
Right.
Those teams are going to be worse than us at the end of the year. Right?
Okay.
There's at least 3 teams in the East that we're not going to pass: Charlotte, Toronto, and Washington. Those 3 teams are definitely going to be worse than us. And I'm going to add a 4th team in there, even though they're not that far worse than us record-wise. Brooklyn has already been aggressive. So that gets us to 7 teams right now that there's no way we're going to pass. The highest we're going to move up to is 8. If everything kind of like works in our favor.
Okay.
And I mean, I think that's actually kind of reasonable. I think we can get to 8. Like I said, I agree the Pacers will probably try to win. Philadelphia will probably try to win because they'll just think like, if we can just get there, you know, we still have a chance.
Yeah.
And the other teams in the West, you know, are already, you know, better than us. I mean, the Kings are the next, they're 13-14. They're the next team on the bubble, you know, and they have a better record than us already. So really it's just like, can Detroit pass us? You know, Detroit feels like they're probably trying to win and Philadelphia is trying to win. So those 2 teams can come from behind us and Indy, who's tied with us, can stay. So, you know, I think we can get to 8. That is, I don't think we can do better than 8. Would you say that's fair?
I would agree. I think so. So if we get to 8, what are the odds that we can fall to 11? Pretty small.
So if we get to 8, the odds that we can fall to 11?
Yeah. Isn't it possible that 3 teams could move ahead of us in the last?
Yeah, I mean, that's like...
isn't it astronomical, but isn't it possible?
It's astronomically small that the pick could go to 11. But if it does and we give up the 11th pick, do you really care? Like, I mean, maybe not ideal, but it's not like the worst thing in the world if we give up the 11th pick.
Well, I do care just because it's another year. It's like we only have X amount of years on this orb, Doug, and it's like I've heard this argument before. Good, we get rid of the pick. Well, just more maddening that the only reason.
Well, but you're going to get rid of the pick next year then. Like,
not necessarily, right?
Yeah, I mean, you just have to think like in the end, like what are.
Doug, isn't the best case scenario that we're bottom 5 for this year and next? Don't we keep the pick?
Well,
next
we
year?
Just discussed we're not going to be bottom 5 this year. Which we're going to do is bottom 8.
No. If we're 8th, we have a shot of getting in the top 3, right?
Like, yeah, okay, yeah, moving up.
Right? It's not impossible if we're 8th.
Not impossible.
To me, the best case scenario is we're terrible this year, we're terrible next year, and then go for it in 27. Like, that should be the strategy. This is a loaded draft. The next draft is allegedly a loaded draft. This is the type of player, and I will also counter, like, I've seen some mock drafts. I'm not super excited about the players at 8, 9, 10. Like, I love Bailey. I love Harper. Obviously, love Cooper Flagg. Like, I do feel like I've seen a couple mock drafts where, you know, 4th pick is an Illinois guard who I watch quite a bit and I'm not really sold on. You know, so, like, I'm more focused on those top 3. So that's why, you know, getting 8 gives us a what percent chance of getting in the top 3? 25%? I don't know.
I would say eyeballing it, I got it in front of me, 19% chance.
19%
chance. About 6% per slot.
Just playing the odds. Like, I think in a best case scenario for the Bulls' future, being bottom 5 this year and next is the best scenario for this team going forward. Is it realistic?
Sure. You should have done that like a long time ago with all these other moves that I said we should have made years ago. Like, But now you've put yourself in a position where it's extraordinarily unlikely that that's going to happen.
Well, Doug, what is good about finishing 11th this year? We hand our first round pick to
Nothing's
San
good about
Antonio,
it.
and then we're like, oh,
Nothing.
great, now we have all our picks going forward. Great, we just lost another year. Like,
Nothing is good about it. We're going to lose another year later. What's so great about like getting to 8th and then we keep our pick and maybe we give up the 26th pick or maybe we don't. We finish like 9th there too because that's just what we'll do. With a team that's already in like salary cap hell, and you're not going to be able to keep Io and Kobe because Michael Porter Jr. is using up all your salary space. like what are you going to do then? Like, it's just
it's a nightmare, my man. It is a nightmare.
I mean, in the end, maybe I'll put it this way: there's not a good answer. Like, there's just not a good answer. We've dug our hole, and there's not a good way out of it. And every escape hatch we had, we declined to take. And now the escape hatches are less.
Yeah, I think the best case scenario is we do somehow finish 8-7, ideally. We get into the top three, we pick a difference maker there, and now we're cooking with gas. And you have a decent team around you, around Cooper Flagg. If somehow we added Cooper Flagg to this roster, I think, seeing where Modest is, where Kobe is, where Io is, like, that could be a decent team next year. That could be a team that
great. Yeah, our best case scenario is the extraordinarily low odds that we draft this superstar this year.
It's 19. It's 1 out of 5, brother.
Well, it's 19. It's 19 if our front office actually tries to get to 8.
It's a
you know what they might try to do instead? Might just be like, hey, we are like basically tied for 8th. We are like in the playoffs. We should keep trying to win.
That's what you want to do? You think that's?
I'm not saying that's what I want to do. I think that's what we will do.
If that's true, if that's what we quote unquote will do, then why are they trying to trade Zach LaVine? Because wouldn't you agree that the team is better with Zach LaVine than
well,
maybe
I mean,
Michael
they'll
Porter
look,
Jr.?
They'll look for a deal for LaVine, but like, I mean, we'll see. Maybe they'll take this deal. Maybe they'll make some other moves to get that.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's always a possibility, but. Like if you look at their MO over the years they've been here, they've not looked at a record when they're like 9 and gone like, you know what we should do is aim for the lottery. They've looked at 9 and been like, yeah, we should push hard for the playoffs. That's what they've done. And I could just easily see them saying like, hey, you know what? We had a rough opening schedule. We got a really easy second half. The team is gelling. I don't think they're going to become buyers, but like, it's pretty conceivable this team's going to finish over 500 if they don't make any moves.
No doubt. If Vooch keeps on playing like he is, and I mean, is there a part of you that gets angry every time he plays like this, considering that he was such ass for the previous 3 years compared to where he is now? I mean, does that bother you at all? It does me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, gee, thanks for this now. Why couldn't you have given us this last year?
Or the year before.
And given us last year's numbers this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been really nice.
But, yeah, exactly.
Like I can't really be angry at Vooch because, he should go out and play his best. He should do his best. He should try hard. So good for him. It's bad in the timing and whatnot, but good for him for like sticking with it, not just throwing in the towel and getting
old.
No, but
I can't be angry at the people that say, well, that's because we're doing the new offense. I'm like, hey, dumbass. He was wide open every shot last year from three-point range, and he shot at 29% rate. Now he's shooting 47%. I don't know how to explain this to you. It's like going from the worst to the best. It's insane, that type
of... It is insane. It is like... If he kept this up all year, it's got to be the biggest turnaround for like a volume three-point percentage shooter like ever.
He's the most improved player. Like, I don't know how you can make that argument. He is. Who's improved more than Vucevic this season?
Like, yeah, he definitely deserves the award. They'll never give it to him because they just won't give out the award like that.
Yeah.
But like, man, like him, like statistically, what he's done this year relative to last year, like, yeah, he deserves it. He's been incredible. So like I said, hats off to Vooch as an individual. But yeah, the timing is not super great for the Bulls. Like, we needed this from you. All three of the past 3 years, for what we gave up to get you, this is what we needed all those years. And great that you're finally giving it to us in a year we wish we were losing, but just is what it is, you can never blame a guy for like doing his best and playing well, that's what he's on the court to do. So, of course I'm glad he's, from a personal perspective, he's doing his best, and he's proving that he's still got some juice in the tank, and he didn't throw in the towel, and he didn't just go sulk on the bench. So I think that's good for him, but yeah, not great timing wise for us.
Doug, can I also to wrap this up, because I have to hard stop in a few minutes. You know what? I was workshopping at 3 a.m. as I woke up and stared at the drywall for a while a couple nights ago. Do you realize how similar the Acme and Ryan Poles front office tenures have been? This uncanny similarity. You might want to hear a couple ones that I was workshopping. You ready for
this? Yeah, give it to me. Lay on me.
2 years in, we're basically for both front offices were they were universally praised, and that changed like extremely quickly. So, you know, think about it. Acme was hired 2000. I would say their zenith was that winter, early spring of 2022. And, you know, when Lonzo got hurt, and they were still battling after that. They were still playing.
Yeah, yeah. That year when they had the 46-win year, you know, people were still pretty hyped.
Yep. And then, you know, for Pace, he was hired 2022. His zenith was this past summer, I would say. So 2 years in, everybody loves him, right? Let's just stop there. That's pretty good, right?
Sure, okay.
Okay, let's go. Number two, both teams kind of traded significant draft assets to build their rosters. Because if you look at it, you know, the Bulls traded picks, three first-rounders for Vooch, DeRozan, two first-rounders essentially.
Yeah, for sure. The Bulls went all in. I think the Bears did that a little differently, and it's an apples and oranges thing. But sure, yeah, the Bulls' MO is to, like, trade a high draft pick for a guy he's going to have to then pay massive money to the next year.
Yeah, Sweat.
And Claypool was the same way.
Keenan Allen, he threw a fourth round for him. Bates, Taylor. I mean, he threw a bunch of draft assets for these players that kind of had,
I'm with you.
Pretty good.
I mean, the only counter argument I'll say to that is Poles also made trades to acquire draft assets. You know, Acme was like just sending him out. He wasn't bringing any in. Poles brought some in.
Well, yeah, you're highlighting a difference, but I'm just going to use
all right,
this.
All right, sorry.
The other
point, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
The other give me point number three. I got to make, which is tied to this, it's so similar, is Acme only was able to make those moves because he had Zach, who was an all-star, making a bargain deal, right, until 2022 that summer. He was underpaid until – Zach was underpaid until 2022. That summer you got to pay him. Now suddenly he's overpaid. You can't make those big swings like that. Those aren't doable at that point. And I would say Poles, since he took over, he's had a similar advantage in that, like, Fields was on a rookie deal. Caleb's been on a rookie quarterback deal for his entire tenure. Like, what's Poles going to do when Caleb's making $50 million a year? You can't make those moves anymore. You can't make those type of things. That's another similarity. What say you?
Yeah, sure.
That's pretty good,
I'm with you. Not all bad.
Right. Here's another one. Lurie. Right. Bulls didn't evaluate Lurie. The Bears didn't evaluate Montgomery. Pretty good? You like that one? I like that.
You're kind of starting to lose me there. All right. Okay. I don't know that Montgomery is quite
this is the last
all-star material, but okay.
This is the last, and this is to me the best one. When you break it down, the best move of each front office is almost solely completely due to the incompetence of other orgs. So for Acme, I think his best move was signing Alex Crusoe on that bargain deal. That was only possible because the Lakers were so freaking dumb that they didn't want to pay him. So he wanted to stay in L.A. You know, hey, congrats.
Yeah, he was going to take less money to stay in L.A., and they wouldn't even pay him less money.
There you go. So incompetence by the Lakers allows for our best deal. And then you look at the Bears. To me, it's an exactly similar story. They pass on C.J. Stroud to make that trade to Carolina, who was 7-10 at the time of that deal. The Panthers had zero incentive to lose, yet they went 1-16. Do you realize the odds of that? Like, to me, it is mind-blowing that they went 1-16 after a 7-10 season. I mean, if they win four games that year, we're not even talking about Caleb Williams. That best move by Poles is, like, almost completely due to the Panthers being a train wreck of an org.
And well, so maybe we'd be talking about Jaden Daniels. We'd be even better off. Who knows?
Maybe you're right. We'd still be picking third or fourth. Like, I maybe we'd be talking about
J.J. McCarthy, somewhere else. Who knows?
You know, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're
right. Drake May.
Yeah, they're all pretty good. So maybe you're still back into it. But, like, the fact that, like, they went 1-16, I still point to as a miracle. Like,
yeah.
You know, anyhow.
If Caleb Williams becomes a superstar. Yeah. It will have been a lot of luck. It won't have been I agree with you there. People were saying like Poles was playing chess and everyone was playing checkers. No, Poles was playing checkers. He got really lucky, but he was playing roulette. You know, he got his number cut to come up once. Like he was not playing a game of skill. The way he operates is not a sustainable process. Like you can't give up draft assets for the right to pay guys above market value the next year. Like that's a losing strategy, right? Over a long period of time, that's a losing strategy.
Absolutely 100% right. And I keep on pointing to Keenan Allen. Like to me, Keenan Allen, he's been good. You know, he's been hurt partly good, but he gave up a fourth round pick. Like, do you realize how many good players were picked in this fourth round this year? Like running backs alone, Tracy, who else was on there? The guy who ran for the 49ers ran wild a couple weeks. There's good players available in those rounds. So yeah, you get them for 1 year, you're not gonna re-sign them. Who's maybe I don't know, maybe
Can I give you another one?
sure.
Similarity.
Yeah.
I said both these guys sucked, like while they're at the zenith of their popularity, and just everyone yelled at me. That's my other one. I'm like, you could just see all the things they're doing were like dumb. Like you could see these were dumb things that were going to yield potentially short term results, but they were dumb decisions in the long run.
Yeah.
And nothing frustrates me more when there's a big bandwagon of hating guys when I hated them like way before it was cool. I'm like the hipster of hating GMs. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that is probably true. A good point too. One more that I forgot that just came to me when you made that statement is like, you can always point to a couple good Poles picks, but like in general, my counter to that is every freaking GM who's been fired has had great picks because there's seven rounds. Like, look at Joe Douglas, who's just fired by the Jets. He picked a offensive rookie of the year, a defensive rookie of the year, and Sauce Gardner. Like, yeah, every GM will have good picks. I would argue that. He hasn't had as many good picks as Douglas, and he just got canned. So, like, no, you need and even Acme had Io, but and Poles has had obviously Caleb Williams, but those weren't really that difficult of picks. Like, especially when I'm sitting on my couch in Chicago screaming for the Bulls to take Io, like at to move up to take them. So,
Yeah, we were both even saying that.
yes,
We're
yeah.
like, let's move up to get this guy. Like, we both like, we, I mean, we thought he was a late first rounder, and when you get to the second round, you're like,
This is the
anyway,
easiest
whatever it
layup,
is.
besides
Chicago
Mark
sports is
shouting
sad,
for
but
Mini Cooper. I understand that he had those old voices too, but that said, he had you and I yelling loudly.
well, I mean, we know what we're doing.
Okay. All right, brother. I got to hit the ground running, man. This was awesome. Really good to talk to you again. 33 minutes of gold. Love you, DT. I hope you're feeling better. Everybody, give prayers and thoughts to DT, who's coming off of foot surgery. Can I share that with the audience, or do I need to cut this
I
out?
think I shared it earlier,
Oh, you did?
so
Oh, good. Good,
yeah,
good.
at the very beginning. So yeah, I think we're all good.
Good to hear. It's always good to talk to you, brother. And if there's any big news on a trade, we're jumping right back on. But I think we'll probably share the same thoughts that we just did now. So I think we're assuming something's going to happen with Denver because Acme doesn't have the patience to make something better happen or wherewithal. But until next time, let's go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
All right, DT. I hope you feel better, man. I got to run. All
I
right,
see you,
buddy.
Fred. Bye.
Bye-bye.